The lesson from 2 Samuel chapter 12. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in the city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom. It was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take of his own flock and from his own herd to prepare for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight?" So David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In a few weeks, we will have a conference on our campus called the Reformation Lectures. It's an annual event that focuses our attention on various aspects of the Reformation. And this year, it focuses on Lutheranism and the arts, discussing art and history and literature. I thought of that because of this text from Samuel, which gives us that visual image often associated with it. Picture the prophet Nathan standing and telling this story to King David. And then at the central point, the crucial point, Nathan says, "You are the man." How do you picture Nathan? Do you see him pointing his finger? That's how most artists through the centuries have painted this scene. And maybe I first saw it in Sunday school or something, but that's how I always picture this story in my mind. The pointing finger of God's law. David, king of Israel, had committed adultery, tried to cover it up and hide it from the people, and then had the woman's husband killed in the front line of battle so that he could marry this woman. Of course, God knew all of this, just as he knows my sins and yours. Even when we try to hide it or cover it up, God's accusing finger points directly at us through our conscience by God's law. It's scary beyond imagination if we seriously think about it. Another prophet, the last of the prophets, is also depicted with a pointing finger. This is also God's finger, but now proclaiming God's forgiveness. John the Baptizer points to Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Prophets profess. They speak forth. They speak not their own words, but the word of God. They are his messengers. Nathan might have confronted David simply by saying, "You committed this sin and this sin and this sin," and a whole list of things. Instead, he uses the story of the rich man and the poor man, the rich man who stole the poor man's lamb. And David knew that he had to make judgment because that was part of his duty as king to decide court cases. This story stirred anger in David, and he spoke harsh but true judgment. "The man who has done this shall surely die." Nathan then uses God's words again. "You are the man. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Nathan doesn't coddle David. He doesn't let him make excuses. He doesn't soften the blow. He makes a powerful and clear statement of God's judgment. You did it. Why did you sin? And you and I have heard that same judgment, at least in our conscience. What's David's reaction? He makes no excuses. There are none. He simply repents, I have sinned against the Lord. And then, right away, with no hesitation, Nathan points David to God's other message, the gospel. The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. And that's why we come to chapel. It's why we go to church, to hear that comforting forgiveness. We can't make excuses. We can't come to just feel better about ourselves. We can't come because it's our duty, or to think that we are perfect, or at least better than others because we're church-going people. We come because we are broken and empty sinners. We come because God has pointed his accusing finger at us and brought us to our knees. We come to see God's gospel finger pointing us to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away our sin. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, King of heaven. But he set that all aside for you and for me to save us. He put himself under the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and all the Old Testament religious and civil laws. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He rested on the Sabbath. He ate the proper foods. He loved God with his whole heart. He was pure and perfect in his kindness to others. He kept all the commandments perfectly. David lusted and committed adultery. Jesus led a chaste and decent life in word and deed. David had the woman's husband killed in battle. Jesus befriended his neighbor and helped him in every need, healing the sick and even raising the dead. Whatever evil things you have thought or done or said, whatever ways you have sinned and rebelled against God, Jesus covers them with his sinless life and his innocent death. The law finger of God points to you and says, you are the one, you have sinned against God. The gospel finger of God points to Jesus and says, look there, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When you leave chapel today, let this promise and comfort go with you. As Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. In Jesus, you shall live forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Let us rise and pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.